It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosie.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosie.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosey. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which we'll update someday at...
Someday. Filmsociology.tumblr.com.
He's back, ladies and gentlemen. Back from his world travels. From his 2015 fall to end of summer tour. He has shirts.
Yeah.
It's got three dates.
That's it.
Paris, Amsterdam.
Frankfurt.
And Frankfurt. But very intense. Kobe Slagle's back. Good, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. It is great to be back.
He was checking all of the global film sociology offices across. Or all the corporate offices are in good shape.
Paris office is quite good.
I wish. Gosh. And that's at the Paris office, that's where I go. Catherine Deneuve, call me. It's funny, we're listening to the music from The Warriors, and Rolling Stone just ran a piece where the cast of The Warriors reunited to ride the subway to Coney Island once again to celebrate the fact that they can, I guess. That's about it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that was on my Facebook page. That was
just to make an internet thing?
To make an internet thing. Well, it can't be I think it's the 35th anniversary, because I thought the film was 79. Anyway, it's out there. You know, it was cool to see everybody together, although the 12-year-old that was conducting the interviews, it felt like she had no clue about the film itself, but oh well.
Probably.
We are old. I am old. Kobe, not so much. Anyway, and as if it wasn't enough that Kobe is back, but the Phoenix Rising, that is, what is Kobe watching? The vacation edition.
I saw so much stuff.
Well, not necessarily on the vacation, going to and from the vacation, because
correct.
If you're in Paris... Although I have to admit, when we were, Lynn and I did a week in Paris and a week in London for our honeymoon, and by the time we got to the hotel room at the end of the night, it was amusing to see things like Wyatt Earp in French or Dracula in French, Zor, as opposed to the English with French subtitles. All right, we got three films to talk about, and a little later on, we are going to talk to a local chef celebrity in the making. Well, she already is one, but Sabrina Richard, who, if you've been watching Rachel Ray's Kids Cook-Off program on Food Network.
For the food portion of the film
show.
Well,
hey, you got to have the food portion of the film show, as you know. Anyway, she was one of the contestants on that program that you can see Monday nights on Food Network. And so anyway, I got to chat with her a couple of days ago. Speaking of which, Robert Irvine turned 50 this week.
Oh.
So we sent him a big thank you and a happy birthday note from the show.
Impromptu production meeting.
Which is, oh good, we haven't had one for a while,
yeah,
on the air.
Regarding the food section of the film show.
Yes.
Can we, in the future, when we talk to Robert, when we talk to...
Somebody. Yes.
Can we ask them about movie snacks?
Oh, yeah, I did that with Robert a long time ago, but we can bring that back. I thought he would come up with something unique or special.
He seems like he'd be a Junior Mints guy.
You know what? You can ask him that. Now, of course, we know his lovely wife, Gail, also a regular on Film Sociology, is apparently her blood type is Sriracha. So She is a big Sriracha fan. So we can. I have to ask. I can't remember if I did ask her about the Sriracha lime popcorn. I have made that. It's Kobe's making his Kermit face of disgust. You're not a Sriracha fan?
I just can't imagine popcorn and lime and Sriracha.
Well, it's a little bit of lime. Sriracha, you mix it in with, in fact, I just did this the other night. Melt the butter, and then you squirt in as much Sriracha as you want. And then a little bit of lime juice.
Okay.
Now, of course, you need a wooden spoon to stir the bowl poured it, because it's a little thick. What'd you think? Dipping sauce?
Yeah, I thought you were just, like, coating it in it once you... You know.
No. We're dignified here at Film Sociology. We do proper cooking. Anyway, we will figure that out. We will. Anyway, that's a little later on the show. I want to start with the intern. Kobe, could you pull up The Onion? Because it's a film. This is the one with Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway. And, of course, Anne Hathaway became the subject of an Onion article, which is actually kind of amusing and, sadly, of course, a little true. This is a film that's written and directed by Nancy Myers, who gave us Something's Gotta Give, It's Complicated, What Women Want, you know, handsome older white people in movies. And De Niro plays a retired widower who becomes an intern for a startup company run by 30-something workaholic Anne Hathaway, who is trying to maintain everything at the shop as well as maintain her marriage and her little girl. And it's interesting to watch this because, first off, there is no romance between De Niro and Hathaway. That was let's get that out of the way. And I think it was the Onion's review of it that said, and it was actually I agree with it, is that there hasn't been a whole lot of opportunity in recent years for Robert De Niro to show warmth on screen. If you think about that. Even something as good as his performance in Silver Linings Playbook, but not a lot of warmth to him. I think we're used to him being, kind of intense characters, whether it's in comedy or drama. And he's got, of course, his character has a calming factor amongst the young whippersnappers that work at this startup. It's an online clothing company. And early on, it's a little clunky getting into it. I mean, he's obviously bored, and he feels like he can still make a difference. And it's a kind of an initiative for senior citizens. I think they have to be 60 or over to be interns at this company. And, of course, there's the ridiculous montage of questions done by people that are a third of his age.
Mm-hmm.
Because those young kids don't know anything about old people. Once that gets out of the way and it's the relationship between Hathaway and De Niro, it's nice. It's not groundbreaking. It's not tremendous. It's kind of comfort food. And I found out Nancy Myers is the original Judd Apatow because her films are all 20 minutes too long, if you think about it. There's a couple.
Yeah, it's not hella bad.
Not hella bad. performance is good. Subplots need trimming. But no, you could do a lot worse out there. And it's nice to see De Niro doing something that's slightly different than what he's been getting paid large amounts of money to do. Do you have the Onion article up there?
I have the AV Club.
Oh, the AV Club. No, not that.
An actual Onion article.
Yes, it's an actual Onion article, okay. And you'll see it because the picture has a made up photo of Anne Hathaway, Maggie Gyllenhaal, and Kirsten Dunst. All in the same, looking like they're in a classroom. So you have to go on the main page for that.
Yeah, looking for you.
I see. This is great. Again, scrolling, production meeting and scrolling on the internet on the film show. You've missed this, folks. Glad to have it back. Well, while we have a little bit of time, the other part, of course, I liked about The Intern is that Rene Russo's in this. So it's not quite the Showtime reunion between De Niro and Russo, but she plays kind of fantasy masseuse who sparks a relationship with De Niro's character. But yeah, this was fun.
Now that was a good movie.
There you go. Did you find it?
Nope.
Nope. By the way, we are fans of my daughter is now officially addicted to Archer. So if you hear us saying yep and nope in a particular way, that's why.
Let's get a talk with H. John Benjamin.
Oh, he's busy.
Yeah.
He's busy. Constantly busy. If he's not.
If he's not Archer, he's Bob.
Yeah, he's going from, and by the way, season premiere Sunday night.
Oh, really?
Of Bob's Burgers, yes.
I did not know this.
Yes, I'm going to have to.
I've been gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you've been out of the country, literally. Yeah, I'm gonna have to watch that with the family and then DVR the Detroit Denver game. I'm so excited. All right. Also opening in theaters today, and I saw this this morning. It's called Pawn Sacrifice. This is a film starring and directed or starring and produced by Tobey Maguire about the famous, now infamous, American chess champion Bobby Fischer, and it goes from his early days to at the height of his powers when he went up against the Russian champion played by Liev Schreiber in this picture. Nice performance by Schreiber. Maguire's good in this. This is one of those films that it's a biopic, so I always quote my buddy Laura Jansen, who says, I don't like biopics because they're movies about people. And, of course, that's her way of saying it's got the biopic story arc. This one doesn't quite have that, but it also, if you know, do you know anything about Bobby Fischer, Kobe?
No.
But you know the name?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then you probably might get some more out of this than I did. He, what I liked about the film early on is you see how he kind of gets that way. He basically has a mental breakdown that lasts throughout most of his life. And it only goes up until the early 80s, as opposed to, and they, at the end of the film, they kind of hit you at the end with the place cards, letting you know what happened to him from the 1980s until his death in 2007. But, you know, as young as, I think, five, always felt like he was under surveillance, and partly because his mother, who had ties with the Communist Party in New York, you know, the opening shot of the film is there's a guy in a car taking pictures of the house, and the little boy sees this from the window, and this kind of sets the pace. Mm. Became a huge paranoia victim, basically. Now, some of it, you know, there was always talking just when the Americans and Russians would meet that the Americans' phones would be bugged, especially when they're doing a chess match in Iceland. Gorgeous footage of Iceland, by the way. But also, he became easily distracted. He, you know, his conditions in order to play chess became more and more difficult as time went on. And the film kind of hits you over the head like the pretty hard with a cardboard tube, as Ed Johnsonat once said in a review. Where, you know, hearing people in the audience coughing became a distraction. What is an innocent knocking on a door sounds like a Hans Zimmer score from Inception in his head. Mm-hmm. So we get onto this pretty quickly. We get the message, but the film doesn't let up on that. I remember seeing the film Searching for Bobby Fischer, and I'll say, how exciting are the chess scenes? Not as exciting as Searching for Bobby Fischer, but intense at times. You also had the likes of Peter Sarsgaard in this, who plays a priest, who is also the kind of sparring partner for Fischer. Michael Sturman from everything from Fischer, from Hugo to A Serious Man, plays Stahlberg. Plays Bobby Fischer's manager. So early on, to see him be this way, as opposed to, you know, finding out how he started to be afflicted with being paranoid and really kind of stuck in his own way, is entertaining to watch. It didn't break, other than that, it didn't break a whole lot of new ground for me as a viewer. So y'all probably get more out of it than I do. I would. So there.
Y'all love it. So
y'all still didn't find the Onion article.
No.
Okay.
Gave up on that.
We'll do it during the break, which is coming soon. Shows come to a halt that we need a break. Emergency break! And an emergency break.
It's dumb.
It's not dumb. Also opening in theaters in town this weekend at the place on the north side. You know, the one with the bar.
The place on the north side.
The place on the north side with the bar. The arty place where they don't bring teeny tiny babies and they don't text and pick up the phone while the movie is going on. It's a French film called The New Girlfriend from writer-director François Ozon, who gave us films like Eight Women and Swimming Pool. Thank you for that. And it's a pretty complex story. It begins with two little girls who become BFFs right away. and lifelong BFFs through school and marriage and having babies until the one woman, one of the girls, dies. And the surviving BFF is going to take care of her late of the friend's late husband and their child. And the woman makes a discovery about the husband, about the widow, after the woman is dead, that he likes to dress up in her clothes at home. And this begins a complicated string of events as far as relationships. Early on with the two little girls who are BFFs, you know, there's a scene where they carve their names on a tree together. And you're like, are they too young to know if they're truly in love, or is it just, you know, single age, schoolgirl, loving a friend? That gray area starts off right away. And so when we have a gentleman who likes to dress up like his dead wife and be around the house, and the woman who made a vow to take care of the family in her own way, that area is interesting to watch. Like Pawn Sacrifice, there are moments that you get hit over the head really hard, especially with the dead wife's husband and the best friend playing tennis on the same side of the court. Get it? Moments like that, in all caps. So, and there's a few very blatant hit you over the head moments, a little too melodramatic for my taste, but the performances are pretty strong and pretty daring, and it's a film that couldn't be made here in the States. Special note out to, and literally pardon my French, Romain Duris, who plays David and Virginia, as well as Anise de Mistur, who plays Claire, who plays the surviving best friend, and Raphael Personaz, who plays the surviving BFF's husband, who wonders if his wife is having an affair. And in a way she is, but you're not quite sure with whom. So anyway, ambitious, not perfect, and worth checking out.
It's flawed?
It's flawed. All the films are flawed this week. Or, as somebody told me, unless the film is absolutely, positively, 100% perfect, all films are flawed. It's my show. Shut up.
No. That's not what I said.
Thank you, Big Daddy. And apparently Don Johnson's show starts on Sunday on TV. He has a series.
Oh, yes, he does.
So, busy Sunday night at home. All right. We're going to take a short break.
We got other stuff, though.
We do? Do you have everything pulled up?
Yes,
I just wanted to ease you back into the saddle. see what happens, ladies and gentlemen. Again, we're peeking behind the curtain of film sociology now that Kobe is back. Kobe, of course, is in charge of checking out what's happening at his alma mater, as well as the drive-ins, as well as the art craft theaters, as well as stuff that are happening at museums and galleries. And I did not see him pull up these pages because I'm sitting over here and he's sitting over there, but he is back on the horse, raring to go.
Yep.
Good for you. So what is happening at your alma mater then? You're so smart and
this
ready?
You're so smart. This weekend, IU Cinema tonight, actually. This afternoon, started earlier this afternoon, the Diabolique International Film Festival.
That is Diabolique.
Diabolique.
Sorry. Pardon your French.
Wow.
And you were just in France.
Great.
Of course, you didn't wander around going, Diabolique.
Diabolique, Diabolique. No, I did not. But tonight...
Did you look for Florian and try to punch him in the head?
No. I didn't. Tonight, 6:30, Jaws.
Hey, there we go.
9:30.
Is that a president's pick?
No, it's part of the festival.
Ah, right. Okay, yes.
Follow that up. 9:30, The Lost Boys.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
For you fans of late... Is Bianca into late 80s vampire movies?
I don't know.
Probably the hair is too dated. It's too distracting.
Could be.
Mullets and fangs.
And also part of the series, Midnight Tonight.
Ooh. Well, it's midnight on a college campus. You're going to be
up. Class is in session, too.
That's right.
So there you go. Fright Night.
Oh. Yes, I talked about this on the show last week because the original Fright Night, not the remake with Colin Farrell. Nobody needed that. Yes, I got to see that in my film genre class in college. My lovely professor, Wes Gehring, decided to shake things up in the film genre class and not always pick the be-all, end-all choices of the genre. So we watched Fright Night. And the week before that, we watched Time After Time for science fiction. And both scenes, one with the Time After Time, where I believe 1978, 1979, and Fright Night was 85, 86, mm-hmm. both had scenes involving discos. So we had to tell Dr. Gehring no more disco movies or scenes in discos, period. Anyway, continuing on at IU.
Continuing on, Saturday at noon, the film, the Diabolique International Film Festival, rolls on at noon with the short films The Hallowed at 2 o'clock, The Absurd, 4 o'clock, Deep Dark, 6 o'clock, another short films, The Ominous, 8 o'clock, The Demented, and 10 o'clock, Saturday night, Landmine Goes Click. So there you go.
Okay. That's what Jesus festival. Will do if he takes his gun from you. Stick it there until it goes click. Okay.
IMA, nothing going on.
Not yet.
Not yet. However, we have a Back to the Future double feature coming in October, and then in November, the Internet Cat Video Festival.
Yes, that's actually happening. Guess who wants to go see that? We call her Emma.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Also coming in October, a quick look ahead, Heartland Film Fest, 16th through the 25th.
Yes, it is. Of course, they have the Tom Hiddleston, Hank Williams picture as the opening night event.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. Oh, do we have the Landmark Midnight Movies listed?
Not yet. I think they are out, but I don't have them here.
Okay. We'll do that after the break. And then also, Fathom has Riff Tracks Treatment of Miami Connection. October, I believe it's October 1st and the 6th. We'll double check that after the break.
Drive-ins.
Yes.
Skyline.
Still going. It's still. I think it goes till October, so, you know, bring a sweater. It'll be fine.
8:15, The Visit.
Ooh.
10 o'clock. Wicker Man.
You're not... Wicker Man?
The Wicker Man.
Wait, original or remake?
73.
Original. Really good. Remake. Don't need to see. Although Nick Cage overacting's fun. No, really good original Wicker Man. Wow. Edward Woodard and Christopher Lee.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, you would... Well, okay, you wouldn't dig that, but most people would dig that. Okay, cool.
And then at 11:45 from 1972, Asylum.
Oh, okay. All right. And so that's at Skyline?
That's at Skyline.
Okay.
Tibbs, Maze Runner, and Agent 47.
Two 20th Century Fox films? Two films,
guess,
with people running?
Kind of looks like it.
Yeah, people running. Great.
Screen 2, Perfect Guy and Straight Outta Compton.
African-American cast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Black Mass and The Visit.
Ooh. R-rated. Not the same studio. Boston crime drama and spooky M. Night Shyamalan movie. Okay, sure.
Is that M. Night Shyamalan?
Yes, it is. Hmm. The Visit? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. They're not really broadcasting that because his last couple films have tanked. But I guess that's one for the grown-ups. What else is there?
Yeah. And then Screen 4, Green Inferno and Sinister 2.
Yeah, the new film from Eli Roth, which Kobe's not going to see, and I really have no desire to go check out, honestly. It's college kids going down to South America to do some charity work, and apparently they come across some cannibals or some sacrifices of some kind. It's from the director of Hostel. What did you expect?
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. So, maybe we should have the Lana and Archer things in our reaction file.
Yep.
Okay.
Production.
Yeah, production meeting during the film show. That's good. Oh, could you check and see what's happening at the Art Craft Theater, or should we go to break?
Let's take a break.
We're going to take a short break. Thank you, Kobe. I think that's a great idea. We're going to take a short break, and we will check out what's happening at the Art Craft. We'll talk about what movies Kobe saw on vacation. That's funny. And then my chat with Sabrina Richard. Stick around.
We'll be right back. Are either one of these any good? Sir?
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Thank you, Tyler. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soci. Kobe Slagle's back in studio. Always great to have him back. I feel less alone when he's in studio here. Before we get to my chat with Sabrina Richard, wanted to verify a couple things. Oh, by the way, the only real big title out on DVD and Blu-ray this week is Pitch Perfect 2. And I did not, but honestly, I have not seen the first one, and I'm afraid I will lose the subtle nuances, and I will be lost when watching Pitch Perfect 2. So I need to do both of those. I watched the first two seasons of Glee. What more do you people want? You saw Pitch Perfect?
Yeah, I like Pitch Perfect.
You like it?
Mm-hmm.
I checked in with the smarter two-thirds, and they were both kind of meh about it. So I will check in again.
See, that was the thing. I remember when it came out in theaters, it didn't get a whole lot of...
It gained momentum.
It did.
Part of it was time. I think they were expecting just the female audience to go see it, and that would be that. But then it gained a lot of momentum from guys. Guys like going to watch it, and I think guys like to look at Anna Kendrick as well as some of the others in that ensemble. And it turned out to be a little more slapsticky, I guess is a way to put it. So guys like to see people fall down and go boom. So
yeah.
So that helped balance out the Glee-like moments of musical numbers.
When you're talking about movies with momentum, you're talking about Pitch Perfect.
Well, that is, of course, that is a film that has, started out a little weak, and then it gained a cult, kind of a cult following.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And then the song on the radio, and yeah.
What song on the radio?
The Cup song.
Oh, I don't.
With Anna Kendrick has the cup, and she does the...
Yes. That's borderline OCD, but that's okay. So we have a few clarifications because we don't want to leave you hanging here at Film Sociology. We've already done production meetings and scanning the web during the show. So, Kobe, let's recap a couple of those items, like the midnight movies at Landmark.
Starting next week, actually.
Yes.
October 2nd and 3rd, Videodrome.
Ooh, messed up David Cronenberg film. You will not like that. I enjoyed it. It's warped.
9th and 10th, Little Shop of Horrors.
The musical. I think that might be the one you could see the Film Sociology crew at. Because you and Fair Sweet Bianca have not seen this 80s movie musical.
I know I haven't. I don't know about her.
Check in with her on that. Yeah. So anyway, that more than likely you will see the Film Sociology crew there. And if you do, come up and say hi. If you hear us chattering on. Okay.
Yeah. October 16 and 17, Freaks.
One of Us. Oh, that's going to be fun. Emma wants to go to that. It's 30s disturbing, Kobe. Is it? Does that help if it's like a long time ago and it's less disturbing than...
No.
Okay, sorry.
That's still scary.
Okay.
23rd and 24th, An American Werewolf in London.
I might need to go see that again. I think I saw that in the theaters when it came out in 81.
30th and 31st, Halloween Eve and Halloween Night.
Yep.
Ms. 45.
Whew, Abel Ferrara's revenge flick. It's on paper, you could say it's a female death wish, but it's a little more than that. It's grimy and gritty and, Oh boy, that's a solid, not obvious choice for Halloween weekend. So that's pretty good.
A solid, not obvious choice.
I like Abel Ferrara's films. He's one of those directors. Whether it soars or it crashes, it's all on him. He takes full responsibility. There are no studios. There are no test markets. You know, there's no test audiences that made him or made the producers change anything. It's all on him, and I like that. So, except for his version of Body Snatchers, that was a studio picture. But anyway, but no, this is a guy who gave us, of course, the original Bad Lieutenant and The Addiction, The Funeral. I just enjoy his work. Anyway, and then also, Miami Connection is happening as Riff Tracks Live.
Yep, October 1st and 6th.
So check your local theaters to see if they carry Fathom Events as well as Riff Tracks Live. Good. And then what's happening in Franklin?
At the Art Craft, next weekend, the 2nd and 3rd, we have Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Then the following weekend, Sci-Fright Frenzy.
It's a frenzy.
Yep. Cool. 16th and 17th, Bride of Frankenstein, and October 22nd, Nelson Illusions.
Okay. All right, we are going to get to my chat with local celebrity chef Sabrina Richard. She's also 11. But she was on Food Network recently on Rachel Ray's Kids Cook-Off. And sadly, she was eliminated on this past Monday's episode, which was a bummer. But she made it to the semis. She made it to the final four and final five. Anyway, she made it to the semis. I see you in the semis. And anyway, I got to talk to her recently about her experience on making the show for Food Network, as well as her influence by Julia Child, as well as as well as other films involving food that she should go check out. Here's my chat with Sabrina Richard. How much do the lunch ladies love you at your school?
My school doesn't really totally know that I'm on the show. But whenever I get a school lunch, I always kind of eat it and kind of judge it on my own terms.
You mean the school doesn't know? How were you able to keep a low profile?
Some of the students know, but the school really hasn't totally recognized how that I am on a national televised, but I put up posters, and most of my friends are very excited about it.
So it's okay to bring this up on the film show today?
Yes.
Are you sure? You're going to be fine.
Yes.
Okay. All right. First off, I want to say congratulations on getting as far as you did. It was really exciting to see some Indiana representation on a national network.
Thank you very much. It was a great experience, and I had so much fun, made great friends. And I got to meet Rachel Ray and Sonny Anderson and Fabio, of course.
Yes, we saw that. Okay, seriously, I need to ask, have you made that sandwich since?
No, I have not made the croque monsieur yet.
A little closure, maybe. Maybe a little closure. So you got me jealous. I can't even make that.
It's a very difficult sandwich. Julia's recipe is about 35, 40 minutes, and she even says, I don't really like the sandwich because it takes so long. And then Rachel's is 25, and they don't have to get their ingredients.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's got to be a relief to be able to cook around the house and not have to deal with a clock.
It's very relieving. Sometimes I feel like I'm still on the clock. And like, oh, I got to get dinner done fast. And so sometimes it's kind of hard to get used to, oh, wait, I'm not on the clock.
Wait till you get to my age and everything's on the clock. So, I was obviously, did you watch the series before you entered this past year?
I have seen the Rachel versus Guy series. I've pretty much followed the whole kids cook-off series because I'm like, adults get this chance. Why do I have to wait so long? It's just too far away.
Mm-hmm. My daughter's 13, and she not only wants to be a judge, she wants to be one of the heavies. So, you know, you have aspirations there. I would say, do you know how many people applied this year? Because I know, eight, I think, that totally made it?
Eight people made it. There was 12 in the second to final cut, and I was the top 12, and I was very, very excited, but I didn't want to get my hopes up too high because I had been through the audition process before.
Okay. And what did you do different that compared to what you did, besides the wig, I'm guessing?
I was a little more stiff in front of the camera for my past auditions. I was kind of not really myself. I was kind of a new person that was stiff, and I didn't really want to talk so much, and it was hard for me to break out of my shell during the camera. But over the past year, I have gotten better in front of the camera. I'm more relaxed, funny. I have more of my spunk, as my parents say.
Yes, it's good to have a right amount of spunk. That's a key ingredient in life. So what happened? I mean, how long was it from the time you sent the audition tape to the time you got a call from the network?
It was around June is when they said, you are on the show. And so I probably sent my audition video around late May, late March, early May, somewhere around there.
Uh-huh.
And it was very nerve-wracking because there's a lot of waiting and Skype calls and emails going back and forth. And then in June they said, oh, you're on the show. We'll be filming on this day, and it'll be airing around this date. We can't give you an exact number. And so then it was a lot of prepping.
Mm-hmm. What did you start to work on immediately at home?
Familiaring myself with different meats and herbs and spices, and, of course, learning a couple of the sauces. I haven't made many, but I did learn how to make a simple roux. And I just taught myself and familiarized myself with everything I could and just stocked my brain up.
And how long did it take to film the show itself?
It took about 2 weeks, and there was interviews and depending on how far you got. So if you were in the first episode, you probably only stayed a few days. But since I made it pretty much to the end, I stayed a very long time.
So you didn't have to go back and forth. You stayed there at that for the whole time?
Yes, we stayed for about 2 weeks.
Did you cook at home, or did you go to restaurants, or did you do a little bit of both as far as, and of course, for studying purposes, of course?
Yes, I went to restaurants. My mom gave me her menu card because she is in the event planning business, and she says, hey, I want you to try this. I'm like, that sounds really good. Please give me the recipe. And she really helped me. She introduced me to all these people in the business, and they just helped me prep recipes, prep things. I learned to make macarons for the first time with one of my mom's friends. I learned just all these different components to being an amazing French chef.
So, for folks listening, let's take a single episode. How long would that take? That single episode, and on the show, it's usually two challenges. How long would that take to make the film?
So we could only work about 7 hours in New York, and we used our time very wisely. So we would start with, they would give us breakfast. Usually it was oatmeal, bacon, eggs, French toast, anything like that. And we also had rule following, like you can't sing any songs during this prepping. You can't do this and that. And then they would introduce us to the judge, and it would be on camera.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would just begin to do the challenge. Then we would go into the second challenge after they tried all of our food and reward the top chef. And then we would go into the second challenge, and however long it took. And there were some challenges that seemed to drag on, and we're like, ooh, I want to get this done with, and I want to know what they think of my food. And there were some challenges where like, whoa, that just went by fast. And so it depended on the day, but we used our time very wisely, and we were learning the whole time, whether it was Rachel teaching how to make a meatball to her being at my station, showing me how to clean up my station. We were always and constantly learning.
What did you think you learned the most?
I think I learned the most about different flavor combinations, like how certain things would go better together than another thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned earlier that, you know, you were told not to sing songs. Did you guys burst out in the song like a musical from time to time?
Occasionally I might hum a little tune, and but they'd be like, come on, Sabrina, you know. I was like, sorry.
What would you sing?
Living on a Prayer, because she would always say, we're halfway there, and I just like, oh my gosh, good song.
That's nice. I was alive when that song first came out. Thank you very much. Wow. I have concert shirts older than you. That's great. But it sounded like it was a full work day.
Yeah, but we were actually, one time my mom said, Sabrina, you're so calm. I said, you are like the mother of the bride. You were just so nervous. And I am like you. I'm going to work and I'm doing my job. This is what I want to do. This is my passion.
Mm-hmm. So have you kept in touch with the other contestants?
Yes, actually, I have. Me and Juliana are actually planning on meeting up with each other sometime. We're all planning a trip to Chicago with each other. I hope to be seeing Scarlett very soon. And we just, the three girls, Juliana, Scarlett, and I, were just joined at the waist. We're best friends. We keep in touch all the time. We text each other, and we, of course, follow each other on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and then I'm also friends with many of the parents.
Uh-huh.
And I'm even friends with Zach and Olivia, though America didn't get to know them as much as we did.
Sure. Okay. One of the things I like about the show, and it was fun watching all of you be able to shine, and what we've learned from the very beginning of competition television, even as far back as American Idol, is that even though you quote-unquote didn't win, I know you're attending food and wine festivals already. Is that right?
Yes. Even though you didn't win, you got huge amount of either showings on different shows like Shark Tank or shows that are about businesses, but you got to learn something while you're on there. And you got to make new friends and have new experiences, and it's a very inspiring thing.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. The exposure has to be tremendous. What festivals are you going to be attending?
I hope to be attending Rev. I have attended Dig In, and I'm going to be attending Food and Wine. Though I can only have the food.
No kidding. But you can cook with wine. I've seen it. It's safe.
Yes, I do cook with alcohol, which a lot of people are very shocked about. But don't worry, I don't try any of it. My dad does, of course.
Of course. You have to trust the parents on this one. And don't worry, it's Indiana. Just don't tell them you do it on Sunday. You'll be okay. Okay, big serious question, because we've noticed this from television. Have you asked out Fabio yet?
No, actually, I haven't. He's married, and I wish I knew his phone number.
It's okay. You're a young lady. You have your whole life ahead of you. You're fine.
I don't know what my dad would do either.
Trust me, as a dad, I wouldn't either. So that's all right. I would, but don't worry. If I ever met Giada, I'd probably pass out. So you're going to be okay. This is a film show, so I have to get to the serious film stuff. Can you tell us about the first time you saw Julie and Julia?
So my mom was like, "This is a new movie coming out. We can get it. We can buy it. You're watching it." I don't care. You always complain that you don't want to watch a movie, and then you end up loving it. And I watched it, and I was like, oh, that was really good. And I just ate it up like cake.
What kind of cake?
It was truly an amazing movie, and ever since I've loved Meryl Streep, of course.
Was that your first Meryl Streep film?
Yeah, it might have been. I don't remember ever seeing Meryl Streep, and so now I just watch all of her different films, and everyone on set said, oh my God, I love Devil Wears Prada. And a couple of them have actually seen Julie Julia. And then the ones who haven't, Nick and others, they were like, oh my gosh, I have to see this to believe it.
Yeah, my daughter's first three Meryl Streep films were Julie and Julia, Lemony Snicket, and Doubt.
Hmm, good ones.
Yeah, very good ones. So what resonated with you? Was it the cooking? Was it how the food looked? What rang your bell?
I guess the fact that these two people are kind of old, no offense, but they were kind of old.
And yet I'm offended.
And they were learning how to cook amazing food that looked amazing. And I love butter. I mean, I love it. And French cooking uses so much butter. So, like, I was born to make this dish. And then I found out that Julia's movie, TV show, was actually premiered on February 11th. And that was the day I was born. I was like, Mom, I have to do French cooking. So then it just skyrocketed.
So I'm assuming you've read also Julie and Julia, as well as I'm sure you have a Julia Child cookbook collection.
I actually haven't read Julie and Julia. It's like top of my bucket list, but I am currently reading My Life in France.
Okay. I wondered if you were going to try to recreate her recipes like Julie did in the book and in the film.
I actually am working on it, but right now we're kind of moving, so I don't really have the kitchen space, but it is... That is the first thing I want to do. I want to cook my way through Julia's cookbook. I've made a few things, but I want to make her real bouffe bourguignon and her duck and the different sauces she has.
What was the first Julia recipe you conquered?
I actually haven't conquered any of them from her, but I did make a bouffe bourguignon. It was from a package. I was 5. I mean, come on.
Okay, we'll give you a pass because you were 5.
But I have made her coq au vin.
Oh, wow.
Which is a lot like bouffe bourguignon, but it's with chicken. So mm-hmm. It's chicken and a red wine sauce with bacon and mushrooms.
So group outings to the fast food restaurant doesn't sound like it happens very often.
Not really. I mean, if we're going on a vacation, we might stop once.
But really, when you're in a certain city, why go somewhere where there's hundreds of the same restaurants everywhere?
Well, I like to learn about the different cultures and histories and flavor combinations of food. And I went to New Orleans on a foodie vacation, you could say.
Uh-huh.
And I got to try so many amazing foods. And it was eye-opening. I was like, yum, this is the best food ever. And actually, most of it actually comes from France and the French kind of style of cooking, but with more of a spice to that came more for the European kind of areas, and I just loved it.
Hey, did you have beignets when you were down there?
Oh, yes, from Café du Monde.
Uh-huh. Lucky, lucky lady you are.
Mm.
So I'm curious, have you seen any other films about cooking? I think of films like Big Night and Chef and The 100-Foot Journey.
I have seen 100-Foot Journey, Chef, Princess and the Frog, East Side Sushi, Ratatouille, My Best Friend's Wedding, actually, with Julie Roberts.
Yep.
She's a food critic, and she actually, in the first scene, she goes to a French restaurant. I'm like, that looks amazing. And this will shock you, but Ocean's 11.
Wait, the remake, right?
Yes.
Yeah, there was a remake. Yeah. The one with George Clooney is a remake. I'm that flipping old.
So, though they mostly eat junk food there, there's actually buffets with lobster, and there's all these fancy foods there, and I'm like, oh, yum.
Yeah, Vegas buffets are wonderfully ridiculous. You'll like that. Now, there's a couple titles I want to tell you about, but you need to check them through your mom, because I'm not your parent. There's a film called Eat, Drink, Man, Woman. Are you writing these down?
I have not seen it.
Okay, there's Eat, Drink, Man, Woman. There's another one. There's a remake that was done a few years after that called Tortilla Soup. I love that you're whispering. This is great. There's another one. I believe it's a Swedish film. Robert Irvine loves this one, so you have to check it out, called Babette's Feast.
Oh, I have heard of that one.
Okay. You have to look for that one. That's an older title. And
it's about a cook, and she spends all of her life savings on making a huge feast, and the people don't really know what to do about it.
Exactly. Exactly. That could be... that's solid. And then the other one was the film that came out last year called Chef.
Yes, I've seen it. It is... I watch it like every day, and I just absorb it. I love that they went to New Orleans and he went to Cafe du Monde, and I actually am like, oh my God, I have a picture from there.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that they make all these amazing foods from around the country, and that's kind of what I want to do. I want to go everywhere. I just want to devour my way through America.
Excellent. And there's a film coming up later this year with Bradley Cooper that's supposed to be, he's not based on Anthony Bourdain, but it looks a heck of a lot and sounds a lot like it. So, again, you might want to check with your folks on that one, because I'm sure, like Chef, the kitchen talk can be a little dicey.
Yep.
So, okay, just shifting gears a little bit, what other movies have you watched recently? Do you get to plop down and pop some corn and watch some films?
Yes, recently I hadn't seen Ratatouille in forever, so I was like, wait, I remember seeing this movie a very long time ago, but it was a very long time ago, so I have to see it again. So we borrowed it from our friend, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's even better than I remember, because now I know what these actual dishes are. I know what the ratatouille is. I know what the sauces he's making are. I know exactly all the stations in the kitchen. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I think he's like the male version of Julia Child. She's saying anyone can cook, but he's like the Italian male version.
Absolutely. Those are words to live by, most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see yourself, do you have a yearning to going to Paris?
Oh, you have no idea. I heard that there was, like, trips there, and I was like, oh, I want to go to Paris and have croissants and all those dreamy things. And my uncle, he often visits Paris, and he was on his honeymoon, and he sent me a picture of him saying, bonjour, Sabrina, and he's in front of the Eiffel Tower holding a sign that says bonjour.
Ah, that's great. My wife and I did a week in Paris and a week in London for our honeymoon. So you will devour France eventually as well.
Oh yes, I would devour it like a croissant.
So okay, so let me shift gears a little bit with your family. Do you prepare Thanksgiving and Christmas? Are you prepping up for the end of the year festivities?
Yes, I take September, October, and November Food Network magazines, and I say, ooh, that sounds awesome. That should be the first course, and then maybe this will be the dessert. And I'm just pinpointing everything. I'm like, all right, so the turkey comes in on Wednesday at this place, but it comes in on Tuesday at this place, but it comes in on Thanksgiving at that place. So which place should we get our turkey from? And I'm like, are you prepping everything for it? And though I won't have as big as a kitchen, I will have just as big as a feast.
Have you brined a turkey?
Hmm?
Have you brined a turkey?
Yes, I have many times.
Great. You got one up on me. Now I know what I have to do this Thanksgiving. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
There you go. Sabrina Richard. You can see the show, Rachel Ray's Kids Cook-Off, Monday nights on Food Network. If you go to foodnetwork.com, you can see the old episodes, I believe, and you can see Sabrina in all her glory. Really nice young lady, and she's got, you know what she has? She has a future ahead of her.
Cool.
Kind of like day-to-day and momentum. You know what every game is? A must-win game.
Oh, it's a must-win.
Absolutely.
That's
so anyway, she now has a list of movies that she has to watch, maybe a couple titles under parental supervision. She's not my kid. It's okay. All right.
I can do that.
I talked with Monica. I talked with her mother. Everything's fine. There's one line in Julie and Julia that people kind of wrinkle their noses at, and of course we can't say it here on the air, but that's what they think about, really? I think enjoy the movie as a whole. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been a long time since we've had this. He is, well, besides the fact that Kobe's back after 3 weeks on the road, but we have not had the segment in a while, and we're glad to have it back. Here it is.
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe watching?
The vacation edition, because yep. He went overseas. He went to Europe, and I just aged myself, because in my day, when I was Kobe's age, you had one movie to choose from on the flight, and more than likely, it was terrible. Because
well, and
you
that's the way
leave.
It was when I went to Spain in 2004 or
okay.
5.
All right.
It was still the same
thing. One movie, and that was it.
Yep.
But now you have choices.
It was The Incredibles.
Oh, you remember that. Very good. So what did you watch on the flight over to Europe?
In the seatback entertainment system.
Technology.
Yep. There is a library of movies and CDs.
Just ask the librarian.
Yep. So I started on the flight over. Lambert and Stamp.
Good for you, because you are a fan of Maximum R&B.
The Who.
I remember saying it is a behind the... you could say on paper it's behind the music, but it's from the management's point of view.
Yeah.
And these were two very fascinating dudes with a really good campaign to get The Who out there.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Very entertaining.
Really like that.
Glad you like that.
That was all I watched going over. Coming back.
Did you try to share this with Fair Sweet Bianca? Is she not latched onto The Who yet?
No, well, she was already over. She was already overseas when I left. So she
Got it.
I was flying solo.
Did she literally run into your arms when she saw you in Charles de Gaulle Airport?
Yeah.
It's a grungy airport.
It is.
Well, it was when I was there, and that was 2000.
That still is.
Anyway, what else did you see?
On the flight back, started with Mad Max. Couldn't really get into it, so I cut that off.
And you need that on a big screen.
Half hour into it.
Yeah. You and Frank, get real close to the TV at home.
Followed that up. Followed up Mad Max with Inside Out.
Ooh, big shift in tone. Wow. So, how'd you like Inside Out?
Really, really liked Inside Out.
As did I.
When it came out, when the previews came out for it back in the summer, whenever it was, I thought it was kind of going to be kind of hokey, but then you were ranting and raving about it, and as was everybody else.
Yes. Not sounding like Lewis Black.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, it's really well done. And I would say that's a film that, well, I mean, you have Frank, so I think Frank's Inside Out world is slightly different. They do show the cats.
Yeah.
What goes in the mind
that's
of a cat.
Great. That was awesome. That was so good.
But that film resonated for me as a former child. Shut up. That's an easy comeback, and as a parent. So anyway, I'm glad you finally got to see it. And yeah, Aloha, great short opening, great opening act with the volcano. Remember the singing?
That wasn't on there.
Wow,
it was
got ripped off, man.
It was just Inside Out.
Thanks, unknown airline.
Yeah.
Gosh. Anyway,
followed that up with Top 5,
Chris Rock's film.
Mm-hmm.
Flawed.
Flawed. Some things a little bit long, a little unnecessary, but there are moments that Chris Lloyd likes to say it. They knock it out when they hit. They knock it out of the park.
Yeah, it's like Dave Kingman.
Yeah,
There's a lot of riffing. I mean, there's a lot of footage of Rock doing stand up, and there's a lot of think of the scenes where he's riffing with Cedric the Entertainer's character, or being with his family in the apartment, that are just some of the funniest things you've seen all year. So
yeah, followed up Top 5 with Pitch Perfect 2. Had already seen it.
Still pitch, still perfect.
Yep, still like it.
Still singing.
And then for some comfort food, Ocean's 11.
Which Sabrina cites as an influence on food and cinema.
Always eating.
Always eating, so that's good. Now, did I hear right? Bianca considered watching Gone with the Wind on the flight?
Yep. The little flight tracker thing said there was like 4 hours and 20 minutes or something left. And she saw Gone with the Wind in the little library, and I said, you pick that, and you'll be through the overture by the time we land.
Did you say that?
Yep.
Did she think that was funny?
No.
No. Honey, that's not funny. Wow. Man, that's good. And you got through. So how long was we have 1 minute?
Okay. Something like that.
Give or take? How long was the flight?
8.5 hours.
Ooh, that's all. Yeah, that's... Well, you could watch Gone with the Wind 1.5 time. No, 1.75 time. So, anyway, good to have you back. Good choices.
Thanks.
I'm really glad you saw Lambert and Stamp.
Yeah, was really cool.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie, you deserve it, and start planning and get to the drive-in while you still can for the season, and there's plenty of stuff to see at midnight and regular times. Good to have Kobe back. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
We go on. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.
Good night, Michigan.